All right, imagine the feeling. You finally got the keys to something truly special, maybe like a Lotus Emira i4. Looks fantastic, sounds amazing, just wow.
Yeah, the dream car moment, pure excitement.
But then that initial thrill just takes a nosedive. You hear about, or maybe discover, a significant problem, something potentially as serious as sand in the coolant circulating in that Mercedes-AMG engine.
Oh man, yeah. Suddenly it's not so exciting anymore. It's actually really stressful.
It's incredibly frustrating, isn't it? You've made this huge investment in a brand new vehicle, and you find a core part, like the engine has an issue, like right out of the gate.
It completely undermines your confidence in the car. Everything feels shaky.
Absolutely. And that's really why we're here today. You shared your sources looking into the New York State New Car Lemon Law, specifically asking how it applies to this kind of, well, serious engine defect in a new vehicle.
So our goal in this deep dive is to unpack exactly what those sources say about your rights and, importantly, what steps you actually need to take.
Let's dive into it then. The New York Lemon Law, it's designed to protect consumers, protect you, when a new car just isn't performing as it should.
And the manufacturer can't seem to fix a significant problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this sand in the coolant issue, particularly affecting the Mercedes M139 engine.
Right, the one used in some Emiras. It's a known technical challenge for that specific power unit. It's not just a one-off.
And your sources really dig into what this defect is. It's not like normal wear and tear.
No, not at all. It's residual casting material, basically leftover sand or debris from the engine block manufacturing process that, well, gets into the cooling system.
Leftover sand. Okay, so what does that actually do that makes it such a big problem?
Well, think about it. You've got this abrasive stuff circulating with the coolant. It can cause blockages in small passages. It can damage sensors, trigger warning lights, and over time, potentially lead to pretty significant internal engine damage. It's a fundamental flaw from production.
Affecting the engine's long-term health,
Okay.
and the repairs needed sound complex.
They often are. Extensive system flushing, maybe replacing components like radiators or heater cores. It's not a quick fix.
And that complexity, the difficulty in fixing it, ties directly into the Lemon Law's criteria, right? Your sources mentioned two main ways a car qualifies.
That's correct. It's about repair attempts or time out of service.
So what are those thresholds?
Okay, first path. A vehicle is presumed to be a lemon if the same substantial problem, like this engine contamination issue, hasn't been fixed after four or more repair attempts.
Four tries by an authorized dealer, I assume.
Yes, absolutely. An
Yeah.
authorized dealer. And that's within the first 2 years or 18,000 miles, whichever comes first.
Got it. 2 years or 18K miles, four attempts for the same issue. What's the other way?
The alternative is based on time. If the vehicle is out of service for repairs, cumulatively, for a total of 30 or more calendar days.
30 days total off the road.
Right. And that's within that same 2 year or 18,000 mile window. Could be for this main issue or even a combo of different problems stacking up.
Okay, and crucially, the law says the defect must substantially impair the car's use, value, or safety. Does something like circulating engine debris usually meet that test?
Oh, absolutely. An issue impacting the core engine's function and reliability. That clearly affects the car's intended use, its resale value, and potentially safety if it, leads to overheating or sudden breakdowns.
Makes sense. And the law also specifies it's for cars primarily for personal use, bought or registered in New York.
Correct. Those are key eligibility points, too.
So let's say your vehicle ticks all those boxes: the timing, the substantial defect, and hitting either the four attempt or 30-day threshold. What happens then? What are you entitled to?
This is where the law gets powerful. You, the consumer, get to choose either a refund of the full purchase price.
Including taxes and fees?
Yes, taxes, fees, the works. Or you can opt for a comparable replacement vehicle.
Okay, that's a significant choice. Now, about that refund, your sources mentioned something specific about deductions for usage.
Right, that's a really important detail. The manufacturer can deduct an amount for your use of the vehicle. But, and this is key, that deduction only kicks in for mileage over the first 12,000 miles.
Only after 12,000 miles. So if you've driven, say, 10,000 miles.
Then the usage deduction is zero, nothing. You get the full amount back minus that deduction calculation.
Wow. Okay. So the formula they use only applies to miles above 12,000.
Exactly. It involves the mileage over 12K divided by 100,000, then multiplied by the purchase price. But yeah, zero deduction for those first 12,000 miles.
Navigating all this sounds like it could get complicated fast. What's the single most critical piece of advice your sources stress?
Documentation, without a single doubt. Meticulous, thorough documentation.
Meaning keep every single scrap of paper.
Every single piece. Repair orders detailing the exact problem, what they tried to do, receipts, any letters or emails, and crucially, keep a detailed log yourself. Dates in, dates out, what happened.
Okay, log everything. And besides just keeping records, is there a specific action you need to take?
Yes. Formal notification. You must notify both the selling dealer and the manufacturer.
How? Just a phone call?
No, in writing. Certified mail return receipt requested is best. You need to clearly state the problem and that you intend to use your rights under the Lemon Law if it's not fixed properly and promptly.
Creates that official paper trail.
Precisely. It's a non-negotiable step.
And what if, even after notification, the issue persists and you've met the 4-attempt or 30-day rule?
Then your sources point towards the New York State Attorney General's Lemon Law Arbitration Program.
Arbitration. So not straight to court necessarily.
Right. It's a state-run process designed to be a more accessible way to resolve these disputes first. It's binding on the manufacturer if you accept the decision.
That's useful. And it seems like knowing about things like official technical service bulletins or TSBs from Mercedes-Benz acknowledging this debris issue in the M139 engine could really help your case.
Oh, absolutely. Providing evidence that this isn't just your car, but a known manufacturing-related issue, that significantly strengthens your argument that it's a defect substantially impairing the vehicle's quality and expected reliability.
Which is exactly what the Lemon Law looks for.
Exactly. It bolsters the whole claim.
Okay, so zooming out here, this deep dive into your sources really paints a picture. The New York Lemon Law offers pretty strong protection if your new vehicle has a defect, like this engine contamination issue.
Uh-huh. Provided it substantially impairs its use, value, or safety.
And critically, if the manufacturer can't fix it after those 4 attempts, or if it's been out of service for 30 or more cumulative days within that initial period.
And the path forward really hinges on your diligence. Documenting everything, every repair attempt, every day out of service, and sending that formal written notification. Those are the absolute must-dos.
And if you meet the criteria, you get that powerful choice, not the refund, with that specific mileage deduction formula starting only after 12,000 miles.
Or a comparable replacement vehicle.
Yeah.
Your choice.
Given the complexity, especially with a high-value performance car like an Emira, your sources also suggest maybe talking to a lawyer who specializes in New York Lemon Law could be a really good idea.
Yes, definitely. Navigating the specifics, dealing with manufacturers, it can be very helpful to have expert guidance to make sure you handle the process effectively.
So this leaves you, the listener, with something to think about. How essential is it really to understand the nitty-gritty details of these consumer protection laws, especially when you're up against major manufacturers with complex products?
It seems your persistence, and perhaps more importantly, your meticulously gathered documentation, are ultimately your most powerful tools in holding them accountable.